All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, June 20th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have round two of the Travelers Championship over in the Gulf Streets for MLB today. We have a 13-game slate going to get underway later today. There is a showdown already going on. Good luck to all of you who played that. And then there is a WNBA showdown today as well. So should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So I will be back tomorrow morning or early afternoon, depending on where you live. So you can tune in any one of those days, get your questions answered. And I do want to correct myself. There's a 3-game WNBA Classic slate today, not just a showdown, but there is also a showdown. So if you want to check that out, that is available. All right. Let's get SaberSim up on the screen here. And we did have a couple questions roll in, so we will work our way through those. And we'll jump over to a build. All right, first question today. How's it going, Andrew? I moved up to Ultimate. I want to know how I can edit the simulator on MLB Classics to get winning lineups. Awesome. Congrats. Yeah, we could definitely talk some MLB Ultimate here. So first thing, right, always want to point out our sport-specific tutorials, okay? The best place to access them is always going to be in Saber School, okay? So you go to Saber School. You go to How to Beat DFS. And then you go to the sport that you want to look at, right? So I would go check out MLB, right? The best video to start is going to be the How to Beat MLB DFS in 2025 video. I would probably start there just because these are the ones for this season. And then I would work my way up. I would go to the late swap strategy guide. This is a really good one too, especially on big slates like today where there are lots of games spread out across multiple hours. Late swap guide. And then I would look at the flashback one, right? The flashback is going to be reviewing your lineups, learning from other players in your contest, right? So I would go 1, 2, 3, okay? Just general DFS strategy. But aside from that, right, we could definitely build some lineups here for MLB. So let's say you're playing, you know, this one kind of ties in with the next question a little bit. Tim said, what's the most efficient way to build for a single entry? So we could talk about this, right? Kind of talk about these ones together, and I'd say group these. So I'm on Ultimate, right? I want to run lineups for MLB for today. Okay, great. So first thing I would do, right, this actually like a good note, is all the games that start around lock, I would wait at least until these lineups have a check mark, right? So like these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games all start within about 5 minutes of slate, of the slate starting. Okay. So I would make sure that all the teams have a check mark, right? If a team doesn't have a check mark, like you might not get check marks for some of these later games, because generally teams announce their lineups 2 to 3 hours prior to the slate starting. So it's okay if they don't, right? And then that's where the late swap comes into play, right? So that's why learning how to late swap is good, because you might have a situation where not all the lineups are out for today. So at least wait until these ones are out, because then that gives you an hour to fix anything or wait for additional news. So I would do that. And then what I would do, right, is first off, just start with, you know, basic adjustments here. So we're just going to make our two adjustments, two projections. I would turn on the don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. And then I would kick this off, right? Only other thing you might want to consider using here is just checking weather, right? Making sure there's no major weather risk. Because when you're on Ultimate, you do have the option in the Games tab to turn on this postpone chance, which comes into play with your contest sim. So we'll talk about that a little more. Best place to do that is the RotoGrinders weather dashboard. I can drop a link here. It's a free tool. And let's just see. So nothing crazy here. I do want to remind everybody that as far as like what we take into account with environmental factors, my understanding is that we take into account temperature, wind speed, and wind direction. Okay, those three things are baked into the model. Okay, so as far as like weather stuff goes, and then you know if line movement is happening based on weather, well, we're indirectly capturing it because we do capture line movement, right? So like wind is blowing out and the game's in Colorado and everybody's betting up on the D-backs, you know, and the line moves, right, their run total goes up, well, we are going to capture that from Vegas because we are using Vegas as an input, right? So I just want to mention that. All right. So we run our build, right? Really important thing that I've been seeing a little bit with my other, you know, responsibilities here at SaberSim that I do want to mention. It is really good, a really, really good idea if you're not doing this, to upload your entry file for the slate. If you've never done that, go to the contest tab. A video should pop up called Entry Editor Walkthrough that shows you how to use it. There are other resources how to use this. You go to help, you go to SaberSim tutorials, and then you go to how to enter your lineups into your contest on desktop, how to enter your lineups into your contest on mobile/phone. This one has videos for every site, DraftKings, FanDuel, Yahoo, Owner's Box. And then the phone one has DraftKings and FanDuel because Yahoo and Owner's Box don't support mobile CSV upload. So we are covering all our bases there. But learn how to use this. And the reason for that is maybe you're playing the flagship, right? But maybe you're only putting like 10 entries into it, right? The sim will run differently if you have 10 entries versus like 150, right? But what if you're playing this one and you're playing another contest? What if you're playing, you know, five contests, none of them are this one, right? You're playing the $4.20 max, the $1.50, or like things like that, right? So telling us exactly what contest you're playing allows us to activate the sims for those contests for you automatically and understand how many entries you have in that contest so we can better give you lineups that are specific to the contest and the number of entries that you have because your portfolio should change different, will be different based on how many of your lineups are competing against each other in the contest sim, okay? So using the entry editor, really, really good thing to do that I highly recommend you use if you're not already using it. All right, jump back into our build. And we're just waiting for it to load. It is like a really big slate today. I think we said it was like 13 games. So be mindful that it could take SaberSim a little bit longer to process everything just with the raw amount of games on the slate. So just a lot of players in the player pool, etc. A lot of like memory usage going on. So I'm going to try a hard refresh here, see if we can help the builder out a little bit. All right, build is coming back. All right, cool. So we're back in the post build. Our contest sim did run already, so we will roll with that. We have the ROI sorted for here, right? I don't know. Say I'm playing like 50 entries, right? We'll just make up like an odd number today. All right, I'm playing 50 entries. I got my ROI for the contest I'm playing. If you're playing more than one contest, I'd recommend using autofill. If you're only playing one contest, I'd recommend using direct fill. Autofill, the difference here, right, and the reason I recommend it is autofill is better if you have more than one contest, because it uses contest specific ROI to fill each contest. The direct fill uses an average ROI across all the contest sims that you ran. So like when I hover here and I look at the ROI, there's only one contest, right? So the ROI being used is the same. There were two contests and one had 100%, one had 200%. It would be grading this lineup as if it had 150% ROI and using the average to rank all your lineups, right? It's not a great thing to do. You want to try and be contest specific because some lineups might be good for one contest and then bad for another, right? I've seen it where a lineup is you know, positive ROI in one contest and then negative ROI in another, right? Maybe the lineup's too risky. Maybe it's good in like a 20,000 person field, but if you're playing like a 200 man contest, maybe it's just more risk and than you need in order to win that contest, right? So that's like kind of another way of thinking about it. So autofill will be contest specific. Direct fill is a mix. If you're doing, even if you're doing one contest at a time, you come in here and you select one at a time, you could use direct fill that way. That's basically mimicking autofill, but gives you a little bit more control. So I just want to call that out as like something to be aware of here. Aside from that, get into this build, sort by exposure. I'm going to throw on an ROI aggregate metric. Okay, cool. So, got my data points, got my number of lineups, got my ROI for sorting metric. I'm about ready to look at this, right? I've been keeping these grouped together, this exposure ownership leverage. I think it's a really good thing to do in general. Just allows you to get a sense for how much, how many shots you're taking here. So like, looks like we're really taking a big shot on Milwaukee here, probably because they have low ownership. So what I want to do is like, okay, yeah, I'm okay with the Milwaukee stand, but this is a little too much risk, right? I don't need to be 30% over the field on a play that's like less than 3% owned. I could be, you know, 10 to 15% and get enough leverage. So here I'm going to start with the min uniques, right? And I'm just going to jump here. I'm at 99 projection, 93 ROI. So when I go from 1 to 5, let's see what happens. I go from 99.4 to 98.9. And then as far as my projection goes, and gosh, I forgot what my ROI was. The ROI at 1, 93, and the ROI at 5 is 89. So less than 5% drop here seems totally cool. And then these leverages are starting to flatten out, right? Slowly but surely. So I'm going to go up 2 more here. We're going to go up to 7. You should be able to get to higher uniques on a big slate like today. There's a lot of good options. So here, right, projections now down a little over a point. ROI's down, I think, about 30% total now. So I really want to, like, stop here and kind of see what we're getting. Seems like we lost a lot of the Milwaukee. So I don't want to go back one, right? Let's try 6. This will help me maintain some ROI and maybe maintain some Milwaukee here. Okay, so we jump back up to 79%. This is closer to like a 15% drop. Get back some projection. And then we do keep some Minnesota, right? So this is a good point. This is exactly kind of what we wanted to happen. We're still getting leverage on Milwaukee. But now they aren't our highest exposed batters anymore. We're seeing other teams like Arizona with a huge run total. We're seeing some Cleveland in here. Cleveland has a 5-run total as well. Both the players on both teams have higher ownerships, right? 7, 17, 18. So we're getting to some of the more common plays while still taking shots on some of the lower owned plays. But again, right, we don't need 30% of a 2% owned player. We could have 18%, still have plenty of leverage on the field. So I really like that Milwaukee is now showing at a little bit lower rate, but we're still getting leverage on them, right? And we were at 7, they kind of disappeared. So then we brought them back up where we're okay taking a stand, but we maintain more ROI and more projection. And then now we're not so far off on some of the, you know, quote unquote, better expected plays on the slate, right? We need to get different. We don't need to get completely off the board sometimes, right? So here we're getting a little bit different, not too different. All right. Well, now that the batters look good, let's go check everything out. So correlation looks good, right? 5-3s, 5-2s, some 4 stacks. Getting to Arizona, which you kind of expect based on run totals, some Cleveland, some Atlanta, some Milwaukee, right? Milwaukee's our big stand. You can also sort by projected runs. I like to do this just to kind of see where we're at. So like, we're kind of under on the Yankees, right? We really don't like the Yankees here. That could be something to look into a little bit. Big stand on Cleveland, kind of in the middle, fading all these other teams in between. And then we have like the kind of like the big stand on Milwaukee down on the bottom. Now I probably leave this Because their pool exposure is about 10%, so we're about like 2x our pool exposure. Seems okay, right? Being so far under on the Yankees is like a little interesting. You know, I'd probably just trust the builder here personally and just hope that they don't have a good day. And then if they did, well, it's called Daily Fantasy Sports for a reason. We always have another shot tomorrow. But again, we're just verifying everything, right? This is the QA process. We're going through, we're using the Sims tools, and then we're using our own eyes to figure out, hey, do we agree with the decisions that are being made here, right? Last thing we haven't checked are pitchers. Okay, we go over to the pitchers. Getting a lot of Jeffrey Springs. So this is kind of interesting, right? Because we're also getting a lot of Cleveland, right? And then we did say that Cleveland and Springs are kind of playing each other. So this kind of like gives me a little bit of like red flags, like woo, like you know, some sirens here going off in my brain. Like, okay, why are we getting so much Springs and we're also getting positive leverage on Cleveland, right? Seems a little weird. So the way I handle this situation personally is I would probably try and play both a little bit closer to the field. So like here, I really wouldn't want to play this much of both. So I might drop Cleveland down to like 20%, and then I might drop Springs down to say, where's my max? Minute max over here. Let's get rid of a lot of this stuff I don't need. All right, let's try this. That looks better. Cool. So for me and Bright, I'd probably come bring Springs down. I don't know, like 18% seems fine. Which is like 2x's ownership. Let's see what that does. Okay, cool. So he comes down to like 18%. So I have a little bit of leverage on Springs. I probably have a little bit of leverage on Cleveland, but both of these are going to be a lot closer to their pool exposure. And I just have less lineups concentrated around this single game on this big slate, right? So here I'm a lot closer to his pool as well. Maybe I'd bring it down like a little bit more, maybe like 16%. But this is just me playing with it at this point, kind of preference, right? Trying to figure out what I like. But this is totally risk management at this point, just to be clear. I'm not like having an opinion. I'm like, hey, you know, I kind of want to be careful here, right? I didn't see like both sides of a game like kind of the same anywhere else, so I don't feel as bad. But now we're taking a stand on Gallen. He kind of matches up with Arizona. We still have the Milwaukee stand. These Milwaukee guys creeping up a little bit again. I don't know what I'd do here. I might just lower their stack exposure, you know, maybe get closer to like 20%. Let's see what that does. Okay, 20%. Okay, cool. So that brings them down, right, kind of back to where I like them in that range. Last thing I would probably do is notice how Arizona has like a really high exposure compared to everybody else, right? I'd probably spend a little bit of time just kind of looking at Arizona specifically. So I'm like, okay, I know we're taking a stand on Arizona. So I want to go look at Arizona and I want to look at their exposures. So what I'm mostly looking for is like, is there any weird thing going on here? Like, and not really, right? We're kind of getting like to a lot of the top of the lineup and then a little less exposure to like the middle and then a little lower exposure to the back end, right? This seems like a fine kind of progression here. I would be concerned if there was like any situation where, and let me like remove my face here, kind of getting in the way. I would be worried if there was like any situation where maybe we had our highest exposure to like the seven seven or eight hitter. Maybe we were like fading the four hitter, right? Kind of looking for anything that looks like weird, right? This doesn't look weird. This looks fine. So here in this case, I'm totally okay with what I'm seeing. But those would be things that I would be on the lookout for. So now that we've made our adjustments, managed our risk, done our QA, I think this looks really good. I'd be ready to save this and upload it to my contest. But yeah, that is how I'd be building lineups on Ultimate. So hopefully that gives you some ideas to take with you into today's slate. Similar but related question. We didn't really touch on this, so I do want to touch on it. What's the most efficient way to build for a single entry? So single entry strategy, the strategy is similar, but like some of the things you do here, right, are going to be a little bit different. So like if I were building, you know, one lineup, right, first thing I would do is I would still build a full pool of lineups, okay? Something I've been talking about as well a little bit. The reason you build a full pool is because we build the lineups first by sampling the game sims. Then all of the lineups go into the pool. It isn't until the lineups are in the pool that they get graded. They either get graded by Saber score or they go through the contest sim. And then it's one of those two things that determines which is your best lineup and then which is your worst. The lineup creation process is not building your best lineup and then your second best lineup and then your third, right? It's not doing that. Because it's not optimizing based on projected score, unless you're building in optimizer mode. So in theory, your last lineup could effectively be your best lineup. So you want to get as many lineups as possible, okay? So let's say I'm building a single entry. What I would do, right, is one, you could run this. You could take the top lineup. You know, that's totally cool. Something else I've experimented with is maybe you go, you set this to 10, right? And then maybe you go and you just scroll through the top 10 lineups and you're trying to figure out, hey, you know, what lineup do I like the most? And let me reset some of these exposures and stuff that I had set earlier. Exposures. I think we had a pitcher one. Cool. Apply. All right, so you know now I'm looking at the top 10 lineups, right? Maybe I just want to like look at some lineups and then kind of eyeball it and then figure out which one I want to play, right? Another thing you could do, maybe you have an opinion about the slate. Maybe there's some team or some player that you like. Okay, well, maybe I want to play Cleveland, right? Okay, well, there's only two Cleveland lineups in the top 10. Maybe I don't really like those, right? Okay, well, I'm going to look at Cleveland. I can go to the pool, and then I can just start scrolling. And then these gray ones are the ones outside my top 10, right? Okay, maybe I want to like, you know, maybe I like this one. Maybe I like the Bobby Witt, Donovan, Benintendi like one-offs, right? I like this 5-1-1-1. Okay, let's say I like this one. I can either lock it or I can star it, right? Starring it sends it to the favorites, which is over here. Now the lineup lives there. Or what I could do is I could also lock it. And then when I lock it, and I turn this filter off. And then I go back to my lineups. And then I change this back to one. It's going to prioritize the locked lineup. And then now it's going to make sure that is my lineup that I'm using. And I notice the lock, the Witt, Donovan, the Benintendi. So same lineup here, right? So like those are the things I'd be doing if I was playing single entry. We do think it's better to play a lot of single entries, like all at once, you know, play four single entries, play five single entries, right? And kind of like have like a little bit more of like a portfolio of single entries. But that is like how the difference is for me for like building like one lineup versus needing more than one lineup. Let me know if there's questions. Next question. Say I'm playing MLB in FanDuel and want to play 100% 4-3 stacks using the following teams: Baltimore, Detroit, Milwaukee, Arizona, Houston. So I was talking about this a little bit back and forth in Discord. So the way you would want to try to accomplish this, okay? would be to set two rules. Okay, so you're going to go to your build. And I would go to rules. I would go to add new rule. So I like to use these stack advanced rules. I think they're a little bit better. I always change pitcher to greater than or equal to zero to give the builder the option. And then I would go four. And then I would change the teams. So we said, so turn all these off. Baltimore, Detroit, Arizona, Milwaukee, and Houston. Okay. And then I set this rule just like this. And then I would save it, and then I would go and create the exact same rule, and then I would say at least, well, actually, since you want to play four threes, for the next one, I would change this to equal to three, and then I would put the same teams. So you're going to have one that greater than or equal to four doesn't matter since you can only have four max. So the do the four with the five teams, and then do the equal to three with the five teams as two separate rules. That's going to make sure that the builder meets those. Now, it doesn't control how much of each team is used, but you're more likely to get both teams, right? So the other thing is that, you know, you're building a big pool, so hopefully you need less lineups, right? You see, if you need 150, well, even if you get, you know, 10% of one of the teams as like a three stack, well, then now at least you have more lineups than you need and you can go control it in the team stacks tab. So what I would do is I would run the build with those two rules on, and then I would go to the team stacks, and then I would go to the three and four stack columns, and then I would try and control it from here if you want specific percentages for each team, right? Like, okay, maybe I want each team 20%. Okay, then I would go and set a min-max of 20 for each team and see if the builder has trouble getting it. If you're running into trouble doing this, another thing that you can do, which is probably a good thing to do up front, to be honest, set min salary to zero, right? This can actually be a setting that ends up restricting the builder from meeting your request. So I would be setting min salary to zero for sure. But those are my big tips for trying to be super hands-on with SaberSim. All right, next question. How can I use SaberSim to estimate the score needed to min cash on a slate slash contest? It's a hard question because slates differ, you know, so significantly. Right? Like there was no Colorado game yesterday, right? And then now, you know, with Arizona being there, team totals go up. So min cash score. Or it could be higher. The only thing I can think about, right, is that, okay, well, what are you trying to accomplish with a min cash, right? You're trying to get in typically the top 20 to 25% of the contest, right? If you go to the contest tab, you'll see the cashing rate somewhere between like 20 and 25. What you could do is you could go to Sabres, you could go to your sorting metrics, go to percentile, and then I would go to 75th percentile. And then what I would do is probably go halfway into my pool. So there's 5,000 lineups. So I'm going to go 2,500. And I'm literally making this up on the fly. I don't know if this is good or not, but I hope so. I would sort low to high. And then I would use this percentile. So the, like effectively median 99th, the median 75th percentile on this slate in this 5,000 lineup build is 99. So you could use this number as maybe a guideline or like benchmark or estimate as to what you expect a min cash rate to be. I don't know if that's good or not. This is like the only thing I could think of. So do with it what you will. But that is probably my best answer to that question. All right. Got me thinking over here. But with that said, talk some ultimate MLB strategy, talk some single entry strategy, answered a couple other questions. So appreciate you all tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.